Okay, let's first of all, let's begin with a word of prayer and then move into our morning worship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we understand the wickedness of the society of the world and the love of God, your love. So we call upon your love to guide us tonight, this morning, as we study, that we might learn and understand the Word of God, and, Heavenly Father, that we might worship together as friends, as is designed by your Word. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name, and for his sake, amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's begin with a song.
All right, there's a single hymn sheet nearby you if you don't already have one. There's no title on it. It's Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
Would you join us, please? We haven't sung this in a few years. Probably been about 5 years.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger here. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call.
Scripture reading is from Psalm 36, verses 1 through 12. Transgressions speak to the ungodly within his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For it flatters him in his own eyes, concerning the discovery of his iniquity and the hatred of it. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He plans wickedness upon his bed. He sets himself on a path that is not good. He does not despise evil. Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God! And the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give to them to drink of the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and your light we see light. O, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come upon me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. The doers of iniquity have fallen. They have been thrust down and cannot rise.
All right, and continuing with song, would you turn to number 155? Would you turn to number 155? Join me to sing, "This is My Father's World."
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, and the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birth
Bobby Thompson, he's doing much better. Three reports. One, he is walking on his own and weekly, but very good. Two, much less pain. He does have pain, but not as much. And then three, he should be going home. His home should be able to let he and his wife come home in about 2 weeks. So those are the three things we have going there. Now, what else we have? The report for the young people was going to do today, but y'all aren't going to do it this week. It's going to do it next week.
Down this weekend, he's going to do it next week.
Yeah, yes. Next week. How did it go?
By all accounts, it was marvelous. They had a great time glorifying Christ.
Okay, good. So that's what we'll do next week, is give the report. And any other reports, any other requests for prayer? Yes?
Personal one.
Yes.
Just found out this last week that the company that I've worked for 22 years is being acquired by another company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll be effective first part of October. And this is nationwide, not just the Dallas office, but the whole company. So people are going to get scattered. I'm not sure how many positions will be retained over to the new company. All I'm asking for now is just prayer for opportunity, direction, wisdom, as I, you know, address kind of what's going to happen next. So it's a little bit of a surprise. Wasn't expecting it, but it's happened. So now I'm just going to see what happens. So
how long will it be before they do something?
It's 3 months.
3 months.
3 months.
Now, so let's talk about you in prayer. Mm-hmm. Your position is not solid.
I think there's going to be a potential chance to go over there, but what I can't say right now is if that position aligns with, one, what I do. There's a lot of things at play here in regards to severance, opportunity to go with that company. That's where I'm asking for the wisdom, because right now it's very, you know, it's a little confusing right now.
Okay.
Kind of where I was at, was looking to get maybe 3 more years, retire from that company, and then, so that's all kind of been changed. So.
All right. Let's go into prayer.
We're just looking for wisdom and direction.
Let's go into prayer. Very good.
Thank you.
All right. Keep us posted.
We'll do that.
Okay. Anything else? Yes.
Just an update about the internet. We've added the link to the contribution, and then to the listen page that has the contribution button right on the top to our church on both YouTube and Facebook as well. That is actually on the title, so that it stays on, and this is upon considerations, because we want to make sure that we minimize the issue about having to update every single live session. And also this FYI for the internet people who asked me, can we have a donate button, like the PayPal, directly onto each of the links. The reason why we can't do that is because we have to constantly declare nonprofit organization paper to these companies if we were to do that. And that, with that said, it means more scrutiny. We have to also monetize that. And once we monetize our YouTube sessions and Facebook, it also means that there are certain topics and words we cannot share. So we want to stay free from that, and that's the reason why we actually choose to just lead people to the link to our website itself. Okay?
Julie, I guess, what's monetizing?
Monetizing, it means that we turn on the option to let the advertisement run before we run our sessions.
Okay.
Right now, we don't have that. It means that if people click on the link, they come directly to our lessons, okay, and no more.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, about how many places do we go?
Right now we're at 82 countries.
82 countries. Okay, very good. So let's continue being in prayer in regard to the outreach to the Word of God in that regard. Any other prayer? Yes?
For Joanna, my sister-in-law in Greece, that the doctors get off their butts and put the team together so they can do the surgery on her for the aneurysm.
So we want to pray for Greece.
pray that she'll last, that her aneurysm doesn't break before they can operate her on her, and then that the doctors can expertly deal with her aneurysm and fix it.
Okay. Let's continue being in prayer and keep us posted on that. Any other prayer? Okay. Reagan's here, and Reagan's visiting, and so love her, love your name, and however, it doesn't have anything to do with Ronald Reagan and the Reagan that I knew and all of that, but nevertheless, we like your name. Okay, glad to have you here today. All right, any other request? All right, let's talk about our prayers and our offerings. people, we have to pay the bills, we have responsibilities, and we have some wonderful things to do in regard to the young people. You can see the pictures back here, so we can see the pictures, see the people, and the outreach in that regard. Next week we'll get a good report on that. So let's go into our prayer for the offertory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it becomes our privilege, our responsibility, the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, spreading the word of God, teaching the word of God to others. Father, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give. Continue to use these offerings to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, would you join us once again? Hymn number 283. Hymn 283, Rescue the Perishing.
Okay, does everyone not have a handout? There are plenty of them back there. So, we got those. Alright. Let's begin with a word of prayer. We're going to go through reconciliation and talk about God's plan for us. So let us pray and let's go through our study. Let's pray. How grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are for the opportunity we have to come together, study the Word of God. pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and to understand. Pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Okay. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. I know we've got to move on, and I'll sit and go through this. And so today, this working today, what we're going to do today, reconciliation. I couldn't just pass it up. So, therefore, we got it. And then next we'll do the next and next. So, we'll just keep working at it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups, that's the Jew and the Gentile, into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by admonishing in His flesh the enmity which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in Himself He might make the two one man, in this may establish peace, and that He might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the hostility. Okay. This is what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The last 3 hours of the 6 hours He was on the cross. It's so interesting and so loving. In the 46, 47 years I've been doing it, I love the study of the cross. And so this time we'd look at the 3 hours and then the 3 hours. Now, these 3 hours were devoted to fulfilling reconciliation, or removing the barrier between man and God. There's a barrier between God and man. Reconciliation is the first work of God, from which man benefits eternally. All right. God the Father planned it. God the Son executed it. God the Holy Spirit revealed it. This morning, in the first hour, Kit went through again, talking about Lewis Sperry Chambers in the regard to the Holy Spirit, and it's just not enough can be said in talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, question. Which member of the Godhead tore the wall of separation down between the Jews and the Gentiles? So there was this wall built up between the Jews and the Gentiles. The second member of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, tore down the wall. Question. Which member of the Godhead revealed it to you? God the Holy Spirit, the one that revealed it. Which member of the Godhead loved you so long, so much, that He made this plan? God the Father. And finally, what do I do for reconciliation? Answer, nothing. Simply believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, this is how easy God has made it. Simply believe in a member of the Godhead. God made it simple. Otherwise, there would be no spiritual creation. For fallen man can do nothing but believe in the member of the Godhead. This set the pattern on how a new spiritual creation regains spirituality. If he, she, has fallen from sin, nothing can we can do but to trust in the person and work of the member of the Godhead, God the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, if we could just see and understand the love of God, if we could see it and to understand the love of God. A lot of people talk about His love, they don't understand it. You've got to understand His love. His love does not, cannot counter His perfect righteousness. As much as His love is there, His righteousness cannot change the status quo of all people. But His love provided a simple way to receive His love and His grace and mercy. Whenever you are using faith in a member of the Godhead, you are doing nothing, just trusting on them. But you receive the grace and love of God. You are not, you are going to be benefited by His love. When we use faith in a member of the Godhead, it is miraculous because we do nothing and the object of your faith does all the work and we receive the benefit from all His doing. Okay, every now and then, go back over a year and bring this out to you. This is where religion has it wrong. I, God, will do for you if you will do for me. Promise. So, religion comes along and says, see, I am doing faith. I believe if I do for him, then he will do for me. He will reconcile me. He will save me. He will restore me. He will cause me to be a believer. Now, this verses the reality. I, God, will do for you. Trust me. Promise. I will do it. That's a promise. Do you see the difference in those two phrases? First one, you are trusting Him to accept your works, which He will not do. In the second one, second part there, the second one, you are simply trusting Him for reconciliation, for salvation, for spirituality. Now, doctrine of reconciliation. I didn't know if I needed to just make this two or three points and move on or teach you reconciliation. I decided to teach and go over reconciliation. Reconciliation, point one. Three pertinent doctrines. Redemption. Redemption is sinward. Side of the cross. Reconciliation, manward, side of the cross. Propitiation, Godward, side of the work of Christ on the cross. So, we got those three to put together. Now, point two. The word reconciliation means that we are moved from being enemies of God to being friends of God by removing the barrier of sin. God established the way of peace between God and man. God is propitiated. We studied three things, and propitiated is manward. Propitiation is Godward. God is propitiated, satisfied by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Man is reconciled by the work of Christ on the cross. Man is the offender. God was the one who offended, and God, and not man, provided for man to be reconciled. Now, think about this. You hurt someone in life. You offended someone. And they, not you, provided everything necessary for there to be reconciliation between them and you. So when you've done something wrong, now, what we generally do is, now what are you going to do to make it right? What are you going to do? Well, what we're looking at is, you've got somebody else that's going to do that, and that's God. A wife commits infidelity, and it is the husband who provides the way of reconciliation. I picked out the wife, the husband, because in the plan, we're the responders. Now, we learn a great deal about the husband and his desire for this marriage. Well, this is a picture of our being reconciled with God. He does everything necessary to be reconciled with Him. It's done. Therefore, point three. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16, our study, the aorist, active, and subjunctive. Now, I haven't done the language very much for you, but every now and then, we still need to do it to get an understanding. So here we have the aorist, active, subjunctive is used to express that something is uncertain and obtain and often of a wish, or desire, or even a hope. The aorist tense expresses something as completely taken care of at the cross. The active voice is interesting theologically. While it is Jesus Christ who does the work of reconciliation, it is God the Father who actually reconciles man to Himself by the cross work of Christ. Christ, not man, Jesus Christ or man, but God. The human way of doing things is that the one who is doing wrong who hurts someone, the one who does something wrong and hurts someone, it is generally up to the one to do something about it, to bring about reconciliation. But there is nothing we can do. So, God Himself brings about reconciliation. Usually people do. There's nothing we can do, so God does something. It is His Son who does the work on the cross, and the Father Himself reconciles mankind. Now, the aorist tense. The aorist reconciled to God by the person and work of His Son, Jesus Christ. The infinitive. The infinitive is used to denote purpose. Purpose. It is the purpose of God in Christ going to the cross to reconcile man to Himself. It is amazing How many believers want to rebuild their barriers so they can tear it down by something they do? That is it. That is it, can be broken by some sin that may do, or and they do something to reestablish after they do the sin, or reconcile to God by something they do. Confess, repent, sorrow, going off and sitting in a corner, just doing something to straighten it out. Well, God has provided reconciliation. Now, very quickly, Reagan, I had a problem. It's been about 2 years. I've been doing very well, but I'm still coming through with it. Okay? So just bear with me. Okay. Now, point four. The Greek word to reconcile is a compound word and means to change, exchange, or reconcile. To transfer from one state to another, to a new state which is completely different state. Reconciled is a term used for the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, whereby he removes the barrier between God and man, so that man is brought into spiritual harmony with and harmony with God. Dr. Vincent says the verb means primarily to exchange and enhance, to change the relationship of hostile parties into relationship of peace, to reconcile. Okay? Five. Reconciliation is the removal of the barrier between man and God, so that God can impute his perfect righteousness to man and justify everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. That's very powerful. That's very long, and a lot of talk that don't even do that understand it. But you've got to understand the perfect righteousness has to be taken care of. Now, point six. It is God who initiates this reconciliation in the person and work of Christ on the cross. Man is reconciled to God, not God to man. Man is reconciled to God, not God to man. Point seven, very simple. Man is reconciled. God is propitiated. And both these things happen at the cross. Point eight. Jesus Christ is the agent of reconciliation. He is the agent of propitiation. And he is the agent of redemption. Point nine. The mechanics of reconciliation is the removal of the barrier. The mechanics of reconciliation is the removal of the barrier, establishing peace between God and man. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he himself, Jesus Christ, is our peace with God, who made both groups, Jew and Gentile, into one body of Christ, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, cause of hate and hostility, which is from the law of commands contained in ordinances, so that in himself, Jesus Christ on the cross, he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it, the cross, having put to death the enmity. Now, what we're talking about in verses 14, 15, 16 is a removal between the barrier between Jew and Gentile and between mankind and God. And Jesus Christ did both of these on the cross, making the church age functional. Now, before we leave this point, note in verse 15, one of the causes of hatred, enmity between man and God is the law. Verse 15, by abolishing it in the flesh, the enmity, cause of hatred, which is the law of commandment. So, the law, the law, verse 15, one of the causes of hatred, enmity between man and God, is the law. This is going to help us completely in understanding Colossians 2:14. We've done it before, but look at it, 2:14. Having concealed all the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, this is the law, which was established hostile to us, since we were born spiritually dead, which with an inherited sin nature, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now, let's not know any more of my comments. Let's just read Colossians 2:14. Having canceled out the cancellation of debt, the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and to has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Few people do not understand Colossians 2, verses 14. Actually, all of 14, 15. Now, this is a powerful phrase, especially to those who desire to make us live by the law. Many people want you to live by the law. It was nailed to the cross by Christ. You do not try to live by the law. This is why we must understand that reconciliation is the removal of the barrier between God and man. We had a barrier between God and man. It's now removed. God is on one side of the barrier. Man is on the other side. This barrier is not simply to grasp, for it is made up of several things that separate us from God. It is made up of all personal sins, man's unrighteousness, and God's perfect righteousness, and the law that separates us from God. Now, continuing. And so the problem is, how is the barrier going to be removed? That is the doctrine of reconciliation. As you fully grasp this, you will give thanks to God for the time, for the people, for the person and work of Christ on the cross. And you will understand what God will save everyone, anyone who believes in His Son. Now, point 10. The cross is the point of reconciliation. The cross is the point of reconciliation. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And through Him, through Jesus Christ, to reconcile all things to Himself, God the Father, having made peace through the blood of His cross, the blood of Christ, through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. The barrier is removed during the 3 hours of Christ was judged for the sins of the world. The last 3 hours of the cross, when the entire area was covered in darkness. Now, point 11. The death of Jesus Christ is the instrument of reconciliation. The death of Christ is the instrument of reconciliation and the intimate and immediate cause of reconciliation. Now let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now, every unbeliever is regarded as the enemy of God. You and I were enemies of God, but through Christ, we became friends of God in Jesus Christ. Now, point 12. Our purpose on earth after salvation is the ministry of reconciliation. So all this way, we've dealt with 11 points, getting there, getting reconciled. Now that you're reconciled, point 12, our purpose on earth after salvation is the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, now, one, it is God who reconciles mankind to Himself. I've said this different ways, different times, but if I say it enough times, you'll get it. Two, He reconciles us through or by the person and work of Jesus Christ. Three, then He, God the Father, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, it is our ministry and our privilege to tell others how they also are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Again, the answer answers the question often asked, why Jesus Christ? Here's why Jesus Christ. When I do a funeral, I talk on it. Why people ask, why Jesus Christ? Now, 40 years ago, 45 years ago, I didn't have to worry about that. But now I do. I have to sit and why are we talking about Jesus Christ? Because if you're going to deal with salvation, you've got to understand why Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ is, what He is. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:19, namely, that God God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. God, in Christ, reconciled the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Christ bore it on the cross. But, putting them all on Jesus Christ, He was smitten, stricken, afflicted, Isaiah 53, and He, God the Father, was committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, here is the greatest blessing you will have in your life. Verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God, we're making an appeal through us. We beg you, in behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. It's what we do, beckon to people to be reconciled to God. He, God the Father, made Him who knew no sin to be sin for Himself. His soul crushed on the cross. That's right out of Isaiah 53. So that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. I'm constantly going to talk about the righteousness of God. Most people just talk about salvation, don't come or talk about righteousness. There is no salvation if there's no righteousness. By faith in Jesus Christ, God imputes His own perfect righteousness into everyone who believes in Jesus Christ and then justifies them to eternal life with Jesus Christ. Now, point 13, very simple. Faith is the appropriation. Faith is the appropriation of reconciliation. Faith in His Son is the response God is looking for in reconciliation. 14. Reconciliation is taught in the Old Testament in Leviticus offerings and peace offerings. Leviticus throughout in various chapters in Leviticus. Now, point 15. Let us close with a look at the removal of various aspects of barrier between man and God. What is the barrier between man and God? One, sin, personal sin. Personal sin. And there are two doctrines that describe the removal of this barrier. First is unlimited atonement in 1 Timothy, 2 Corinthians, Titus, Hebrews, Peter, and John. Second is redemption. First is unlimited atonement, and then secondly is redemption in John, Galatians, Peter, Ephesians, and Colossians. So, under the doctrine of reconciliation, two doctrines are involved. The doctrine of redemption, the doctrine of unlimited atonement. Now, two, penalty of sin. First is personal sin. Now we're looking at the penalty of sin. This part of the barrier is removed by expiation. Colossians 2:14 and other passages. The penalty of sin is paid for by the cross work of Jesus Christ. The problem three, the problem of our physical birth. That's the third problem. First problem, here they are. Look at it. First problem, personal sins. Second problem, penalty of sin. Third, the problem of our physical birth. separation from God. This is removed by regeneration. John, Peter, and Titus. And fourth, the problem of God's perfect righteousness. That's a long study right there. God's perfect righteousness. This is removed by propitiation. Becomes been, when I say removed, the problem is removed. It is removed and put in place the fullness of righteousness. Now, five, the problem of the law. Removed by the cross, work of Jesus Christ, Ephesians and Colossians. This is probably the least correctly understood phrase in the Bible. One must fully understand Old Testament sacrifice and New Testament Greek. But the point is our peace through His spiritual death on the cross. This is where we will begin next Sunday. Well, we might just use the whole time on the young people. We'll see what we want to do. If you think he's going to be ready for that.
I don't know if he's going to need the whole time or
not. Okay.
We'll have to check in.
All right. Well, I'll have something, and then I'll have it for the next week, and kid will get it ready. All right. Let's close in a word of prayer. So much hangs on the understanding of the cross. Understanding your perfect righteousness. Understanding our sins. Understanding our personal birth. All these things taken care of. By the grace of Christ on the cross. Father, I pray your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning. Let them understand them throughout the world that will listen to this as we teach it. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.